Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to another episode of City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I'm Philip Gilfus, and I'm joined, as always, with my fellow survivors here on the planet, Daniel Prue and Darren Moser. How are you guys doing?
Surviving.
Very well.
Right.
Very well.
Yeah, we're actually going to tribal council tonight. Daniel and I have a secret alliance.
So awkward!
Not so secret anymore, Philip. Well, me and this Wilson volleyball have an alliance, too. And that's two on two, so you can't vote me off.
And now we cut to a confessional of Wilson.
It's really short, and he's really quiet.
It just focuses on him, and he just stares.
And then he falls off the chair.
Cool. Well, what anything going on in your Star Trek lives this week?
You know, I've been working my way through this Star Trek game. And it is terrible.
It's like, the 2009
you're still,
game.
You're like,
yes.
Well, you just hate playing it?
Well, I have to complete it. I have to get everything done in it. So, yeah.
Does holding shift help, Daniel?
Yeah, no shift because it's on Xbox. I mean, there may be a PC. I don't think there's a PC version. I think it's only Xbox 360 and PS3. Anyways, you can run. You have to click in the control stick if you want to run.
Okay.
But you can't hide.
And it's not the 2009 game. It actually came out right before Into Darkness did. In fact, my friend, who I coerced into purchasing it so that we could play it through together, so it was not as unbearable.
Shared suffering. Nice.
Yeah, he bought the Canadian version because he's from Canada. And he actually got a ticket in the box to go see Into Darkness, which is very useful nowadays. Right. So the game bridges the gap between 09 and Into Darkness, and by bridges the gap, I mean just takes place between the two, because it really it doesn't.
There were so many unanswered questions. Yeah.
Does the Enterprise get destroyed in this one? Because
it gets beat up. I'll say that.
Okay, well, so then it's a legitimate Kelvin timeline.
Yeah, no.
Episode then.
Lots of Gorn around. And this is the Gorn more in the vein of the Enterprise Gorn than the TOS Gorn. Man, this game would be so much easier if it was the TOS Gorn. You'd be able to
slowly move.
Look at you.
But no, these guys are lots of different versions of space lizards, and you just shoot them, and that's the game, really. But anyways, yeah, that's what I've been. That's my trekkiness that's been going on lately.
What about you, Darren?
Haven't had a ton of time for Star Trek this last week. I've been focusing on building my new Star Wars droid.
Okay, so no one's interested. Yep.
Please, moving on. Let's
go. Okay, just listen to Filibuster from Wednesday, and you'll hear all about it.
Okay. Well, no, that's not good. And where, because I know you have video and Instagram and all that wonderful stuff, right, that people can look at?
Yeah, drscifi.com has some links, and my Instagram, drscifiprops, has a lot of pictures. So it's been a lot of fun. But I'm in con crunch mode right now, so it's lots of late nights.
Right, that's convention, not noonian.
Yeah, con crunch mode right now.
So you're what convention are you trying to finish it in time for?
I'm WonderCon on Saturday.
Oh, it was on Saturday. So you are really in crunch
yes,
mode.
Yes, I'm in.
So this will be tomorrow when you're listening for this.
Yes.
So if I would love to get some pictures, and I don't know that anybody's going
to
be there.
Are you going to fly out to WonderCon? That'd be great.
No, I'd love to
see you.
No, we want people to stalk down looking for you and take pictures of Darren.
Yeah,
if you can find them.
Let's put it this way: if I go, I'm not expecting to move. Like once we get on site, I'm pretty much planning on just standing for pictures because I think it's going to be that awesome. So
what I want to see is, and I assume there's going to be somebody else there cosplaying as HK-47. I want to see a buddy picture between HK-47 and
I have never seen an HK-47, but
what, really? I can't believe that. I have to look it up now. Maybe there's not. Maybe people don't. Maybe I'm the only one that loves this character as much as
no,
I do.
No, I know people like that character, but I've seen a 000 It's like a black C-3PO with red eyes.
You're right.
I've seen a guy who cosplays as that, but...
Why has nobody cosplayed as HK-47? I'm going to do it.
Well, but no, isn't... I'm not going to do but it. But isn't it, like, it wasn't ever a person inside of it, right?
No, but, I mean, people cosplay as lots of things that aren't real people.
True.
I mean, you know, that I don't think there was ever an actual... Was there ever an actual person inside of a
K-2SO? No, he only existed digitally.
Yeah, so, see? And you found a way, so...
Well, I'm doing it as a puppet, so I'm standing behind him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
but
I'm
he never existed as a puppet either.
No, I think they built a static like stand-in just for reference that didn't move, that was the full size. But I don't think they've ever... There was never an animatronic or anything like that.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, that's been aggressive negotiations here on the party. No. I can't think of a lot that's necessarily happening in my Trek life this week. I still... this is funny, considering how much I love Next Gen, but I'm like, okay, Voyager's done. Now it's time to go straight to Enterprise. Nothing left in the 24th century to watch. It's just straight from the end of Voyager. You're done.
Weren't there some movies in that time?
There was a movie.
One? Was there one?
So I have to watch Nemesis, guys, and then I'll be finished officially.
Well, don't forget, there are 24th century bits in 2009 as well.
24th century? Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's shown.
You're right. Yeah. I'm not...
I think when Spock's all talking about, he was the first to arrive, he got there first. First to be there was Nero. It's like, okay, Spock, we got it. Did I mention the order of which we left? Because that was the left of which we ordered. It's like, okay, case box, stop.
All right, Mojo Jojo.
Ah, nice. That's a good reference.
Windmills do not work that way. Sorry.
It is the windmill that is being working. It is the working windmill. Well, speaking of places to go, segue, I roll. What we're going to be talking about this episode is places and planets. And not just randomly, though I suppose it may be random, but kind of just imagining, you know, if we're all in Starfleet and for some reason we get put in charge of where to go and where to lead an away team, it's a planet you'd like to lead an away team to, and I suppose, you know, maybe lead a shore leave away team to, you know, it's the parameters or whatever you want. So I'm going to pick just a short one. It's an easy one. It's, you know, me, I like history, and so I'm just going to see a historical spot while we're in the vicinity. And it's just going to lead a historic, because if this is the 24th century, this will be an historical away team to Viridian 3. Mostly to see if Captain Picard's story is true and holds up. But also, hey, if you can see where Captain Kirk is buried, you're going to see where Captain Kirk is buried. You know.
Do you think that they turned that into a memorial? It's
you would think.
Afterwards, like.
Right.
Yeah. That would make sense.
Now, no, though I'm trying to remember, Viridian... Oh, this is off in memory of generations. This will be fun. Viridian 4 supports pre-industrial humanoid society. Now, Viridian 3, where the actual planet, where they actually everything happened, was uninhabited?
I believe. Mostly in other words, not by...
We anything. Might have some prime directive issues if we just build a huge museum, hotel, conference center there.
I mean, you would think that if Viridian 4 had... pre-industrial people, that they would probably eventually notice all the space traffic that's happening right on the next planet over.
I don't think it as inhabited. I think I'm confusing it with the scene in Nemesis where he's driving the Argo around. That's what my brain is thinking of, but that was not Generations. Wait,
you're thinking of the other outside of Los Angeles desert location.
Yes.
Yes.
No, that was actually the big stakes in that movie was the fact that they had to get there.
Next planet over.
Or that everyone was going to die. And
well, but it was going to die from Narinda 4 because the sun was going to explode.
Yeah, right. The next door planet.
Right. But I don't think there's any life on 3.
Well, Daniel's saying they may notice all these things in the sky going that way.
Right. Like so like if Mars had like some awesome memorial to, you know,
casino.
Like in the shape
had a
of
a casino.
Like the shape of a face perhaps.
We would, you know, eventually we would notice that and maybe we wouldn't have prime directive issues for a little while. But eventually, I think maybe we would. So I don't know how that would work.
That's true. Eventually, they look up and they're like, look at that crashed saucer. Wonder why that's been there. There's a flying saucer landed on Naranja 3.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, you know, unlike, I guess, Earth, when they do their first, it doesn't even have to be that far of a space program because they just go to the planet next door instead of, you know, it'd be like their trip to the moon. And they're sort of like, hey, wait a minute. What's all this stuff here?
Yeah. Well, that leads me to my first one. I know it's, I mean, it's Star Trek and we go anywhere, but honestly, I would just go to like Mars and the moon.
I was going to say, if you said Earth, we would just block you out.
No, like I'd go to
New Orleans, look. Joseph Sisko's Cajun restaurant.
Well, Darren, you have to remember the moon in our time's completely different. Oh, on a clear day, you can see.
It's Lake still Armstrong. There. The lake's not gone. When they wouldn't, New and Berlin. They wouldn't call it lake. They're called mirrors.
Well, that depends on what kind of terraforming we've done to the moon.
No, we didn't terraform
point.
The moon. I think they did like dome cities.
What? Wait, we don't know this. Is this ever explained?
I don't
in
think
canon?
You can terraform the moon. There's not enough gravity to hold an atmosphere.
You could build gravity generators. We're on ships all day long that have artificial gravity. What are you talking about?
Or sorry, not mirror, as sea. They call them seas, yeah.
But no. So actually, this is important, and we should talk about this.
Is it really important?
It is, because every time we see the moon in Star Trek, it's just the moon, including in Voyager, when it's a very important plot point on that one episode where Chakotay's a sleepy guy and everybody else falls asleep. We should establish whether the moon has been colonized, how extensive that colonization is, and how much that's changed the moon, because it seems pretty significant once they mention it in passing in First Contact.
That's true. I mean, I'm sure it has a large population and...
I don't know if it's ever an on-screen mention, but I know, like, when I was a kid, I had this poster in my wall. No, not of that. But it had, like, all the TNG crew, and so it had, like, little biography about them. And it listed Dr. Crusher as being from Luna.
Oh, so interesting.
I think that might be the name of what they call it, then.
But it would be cool, like, if, even in, like, Discovery, if they were, like, starting on Earth for some reason, and they... Like, even just, like, a nighttime shot and there were lights on the moon. That would be cool enough. Like, you don't have
or
to
like
get into
in
it.
In Enterprise, how they, you know, he's going around to pick up the crew and he picks up, you know, Hoshi and South America. Why can't she just be working on the moon or something cool like that?
Listen, if you can transport to Kronos, you can definitely transport to the moon. So, by the way, you should not be able to transport to Kronos, but the moon wouldn't be a problem, I think.
No, I am trying to think. And it's been a long time since I've seen it, and it'll be a long time since I'll see it again if I do my rewatch. In Terra Nova, is that the Enterprise episode? That takes place on Mars, right? The two-parter?
Because
the bad guy's on Mars.
Terra Prime.
Right? Terra Prime, there you go. But anyway, that looks Dome City-esque, if I remember correctly.
There is also an establishing shot of the Carl Sagan plaque on Mars, which I always loved. That's one of my favorite things about anything, really.
Yeah, the Carl Sagan Memorial. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, that's what I'd do. I'd visit the moon and on my way to Mars to attend the Defense Perimeter Convention.
Just some ideas.
Around. You know, seems like you guys need a little help over here. So...
See, that's what happens when there's no private contractors in the future.
It's good. See, and you should never, you know what, just don't even bother visiting Jupiter. Who knows if there's something on the other side? Don't worry about it.
That's flyover country. It's the solar system. It's flyover planets.
But well, there's Jupiter Station right there.
Oh,
by the 24th
true.
Century. Maybe it's built out of the remains of that cube building.
Well, there was just a space station sitting here, apparently, that someone built 100 years ago. So we just built Jupiter Station out of it. So, all right, Daniel, you have a particular planet or place that you would like to visit to?
I do, in fact. I mean, really, the question of...
Is it going to be Bajor now or later?
Probably never. like, the question is, what planet would you like to lead an away team on? Come on, guys. There's an obvious answer here, and the obvious answer is Ryza, of course. the pleasure planet. Oops, sorry, I marooned us here on the planet built to please all of the people that are here. It's amazing. Ryza is amazing, and of course I would love to go to Ryza. It's like climate controlled, and even if Worf doesn't like it, it is. And the whole thing is tropical, and you get massages from attractive people all the time, and there's Jamaharan, and I'm sure there are tasty drinks, and come on. This is Vacation Central. I don't think I would even lead an away team there. I think I'd move there immediately and just live there forever. But
be the Federation attaché to Ryza. Guys, it's tough work, but I am going to take this one for the team.
Ambassador Prue.
It's a big sacrifice to the Federation, but I am willing to do it in order to represent Ryza to the best of my abilities.
That's all. Now, I don't, you know, to me, when we've seen Ryza, yes, and I mean, I'm not gonna disagree with you, Daniel, but when I was thinking of planets, and I was like, well, maybe the Edo planet, but I'm like, it's a little too Aryan for me. I mean, I can get the things it has to offer, but it's a little too white, blonde, blue-eyed, and that's gonna get pretty old after a while, and scary for really obvious reasons.
Ryza has Vanessa Williams on it, so yeah, you don't have to worry about that there.
That's true. But actually, the pleasure planet I was thinking about was Sicaris, if I'm saying that correctly. And if you don't remember that, that's fine, because I looked it up, because I didn't remember it either. That's the one from Voyager episode, Prime Factors, not the all pleasurable planet. So aside from that creepster, it's actually, it seems like it's a pretty legit place. Ryza, to me, seems it's like a little too skeezy. I mean, also, that's where everyone is. I mean, the Delta Quadrant, no one's been there yet. It's like that beach that it's not that crowded yet. And so I think Sicaris would be a little bit more cool. I mean, they're there for hospitality, right? You know, you can, like Farpoint Station, you can get some bolts of fabric, which I'm always looking for. They're not in this color. Do you have anything? Oh, it was there the whole time. I'm an idiot. But that would be my choice, because it seemed like it also had a lot of things to offer, like depending on your area of interest. Like you had it had that kind of cool transporter. So basically, you can go to any planet from that planet. So that's it's like the holodeck, Daniel. It's multi-purpose pleasure planet.
I was also in the same vein. I was going to mention Pacifica, which is a planet that we never see, but it's mentioned several times in TNG.
They keep saying they're going to.
We're going to Pacifica. Yeah. We're all going to Pacifica. And they never show up.
We had to delay our trip to Pacifica again. Yeah.
Same idea, basically. That there are planets out there.
It is an ocean world.
Yes, I've heard that.
Hence the name, yeah. I suppose.
I want to go to Atlantica.
Well, it's much smaller, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's warmer.
It is warmer, yeah.
All right, Darren, what's next on your planet or place?
Well, you know, as long as they turned off their security system, I think it would be fun to go to Minos, which is the planet from the Arsenal of Freedom, because, you know, it's pretty, it's like, you know,
speaking of weapons contractors,
yeah. I mean, because it's got a lot of green, you know, that'd be fun to like camp and hike, and you're pretty much like the only person on the planet. You can really do whatever you want, but again, you just have to make sure they unlock the planet and turn off the
it's an adventure, Darren. You know, you get to it's the journey to get to the destination.
Exactly. But yeah, so I think that would be fun, but yeah, I don't want to be killed by a orbital platform or something like that.
I mean, it's no Mars orbital platform.
No.
But maybe we should they should talk to each other. I mean, if we had the Arsenal of Freedom planet defending the solar system, or the as in Sol, that I think we'd stand a better chance against the next Borg incursion. I mean, third time's the charm for them, let's admit it. So, Daniel, what would be your next planet or place?
Oh, man. It's tough. So I say, okay, I would like to go to is it called Baku? I don't remember if the planet itself is, that the people are the Baku from...
I thought you hated that place.
I do. Well, I hate the people. The people are obnoxious. But I mean, because they're like, oh, you use a shovel? We only use our hands. They're so anti-technology.
It's so true.
They could just take it. And...
Yes, but they're so they do it with their minds.
Yes,
because they're so advanced.
So I would hate the people.
I think it's the Baku planet. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's named Baku or I can't remember, but that would be a really cool place to live, especially when you get older and sick or whatever, because it's a pretty planet, certainly, and it obviously fixes all your issues, any problems that you're having, even if you're, you know, yeah. So. It would be super useful for that. I don't know, just found a colony like on the other side of the planet where you don't have to deal with the most pretentious hipster people of all time. Like, oh, I can't stand the Baku. They're so boring and awful.
But Daniel,
but, the place
would
be super
cool. Who
would
want to live in the middle of the Briar Patch?
If it was that planet, you could get a lot out of it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Now, you realize, of course, it would prevent you from aging.
Which would be okay with me. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
So how old are you, like 60 or?
Here's the thing, I plan to live forever. So
just sit down in the chair, Daniel, okay?
Now here's the, are you going to introduce technology to that planet?
No, listen.
Or are you fine with the simple life?
They can live in their little weird zone, and I'll go where normal people are on a normal city where we can both benefit from the technology of the age, as well as the natural resources that are given to us. You know what? I say just ship them all off the planet. That's what I say.
But how many people, Daniel?
All of them.
A planet that... I actually do have another pleasure planet of mine, but I feel like I'm being repetitive, so I'll do a non-pleasure planet. And that is, even though I guess you technically could argue it's the... Not a pleasure planet, but it's... a choice between the 1% that I'm going to name or living with the 99%, and that is Stratos. This is from the original series episode The Cloud Miners, and it's literally the cloud city.
It's like literally sitting on a cloud, like a building on a cloud.
Yes. Yes. And I'm trying to remember what they had. Did they just have like a really big elevator or something to get to the ground?
I didn't see an elevator in the model shot. I mean, it was totally real, but...
Well, in the new remastered version. But because I think, yes, it is for the 1%. Whatever, it's the 23rd century. It's Starfleet's pretty egalitarian, even if that planet isn't. Because it does age, just the technological achievement of like, hey, I'm on a cloud now. It's not even, doesn't have to be cloud 9. I'll take 8 or 7. It's fine. And then, you know, you get to talk with works of art. You have no idea what's holding their dress top in place. Think a real interesting place, you know. You could take pictures, you know. I assume they have sort of like the fence that says please don't lean over the fence while taking this photo or else plummet to death. And I suppose you could go take tours, mini tours to the planet and be like, oh, this is the mines. Yeah, okay, let's go back. And so, you know. But I think it's like most places that we tour at on Earth, like, you know, go to Jamaica or look at all these things. No, don't go past this line. That's where everyone else lives. And that's poverty because we only believe in the 1% here. So, you know, it could be like that.
Yeah. Well, I would say my next one is I'd actually think it'd be fun to go to Krotos and, you know, maybe a side stop.
You like getting headbutted, Darren?
Look, maybe a side stop over to Praxis if it hasn't been blown away yet.
Praxis!
But, yes. But no, I mean, you think of all, I picture that Kronos has got to have like temples and like tons of like just history, like everywhere.
A lot of memorials, like more memorials than you think you would want to see.
True.
That's true.
You get to see the Tribble Memorial
from the Great Tribble Hunt.
No. I don't think it would be a memorial for Tribbles. I don't know what they'd have, but actually. My next one that I was going to mention was very in a similar vein, Darren, but much more interesting because I came up with it.
shots fired.
Is a Vulcan would also be interesting to kind of visit, mostly because
before it gets destroyed, pretty much
too soon. I don't know. I'd like to see that society. I think it would be interesting. I think the planet is generally depicted as kind of boring. It's very hot and bland and dry and not very exciting.
You see it in
like,
the animated like, series.
Like a location outside of L.A. in the desert.
Pretty much.
It almost seems that way, yeah. But it would be, I think it would be a neat place to visit. You probably wouldn't have a lot of fun, But if you were going for educational purposes or, I don't know, to find your Katra or whatever.
I don't know. I always heard that the great party is over at the Vulcan Embassy.
That's right. That's right.
What would you do, Darren, at the on Kronos?
You know, like I said, you know, I think it'd be fun to find like some Klingon scholars and just talk about their history and like why, you know, it's like how did you kill your gods, you know, and talk about, I don't know, or like go see the Klingon shipyards, you know, them pranking out like birds of prey and all sorts of big, you know, things of weapon. I mean, I think they'd really maybe a side stop over to the, you know, the council, the Klingon council hall, you know, it just seemed like they would probably have very proud. So they'd probably be very proud of like the stuff they would build and their cities would probably be grand, but also very, very dangerous.
Right. You know, and
now don't drink the water there, Darren. I believe that's customary not to.
Don't drink the blood wine. You don't know who it's from.
Well, you can always drink the blood wine. I think that's the rules. Right. But this actually makes me think too, and this could be a whole nother subject, so I won't go off on the tangent if we don't want to. But like we didn't see Vulcan really until 2009.
Animated series. And, it's in the animated series. Yes. It's canon.
Yes, it is.
Well, hold on.
And there's also
the original series, A Mock Time.
Yes.
Star
okay.
Trek
I'm sorry.
For the Voyage Home.
Okay. Really.
What more do you want?
Star Trek: The Motion series. Picture. Where Spock's in the wilderness.
Oh, it's true.
Right. Was he on Vulcan?
Yeah, that's where. That that's
yeah,
where
I guess
he
it was.
Well, he was.
I don't
on
remember
Vulcan.
Him.
Spock.
I got Spock. It's like Coca-Cola. I know which one that is.
All right. Okay. I'll take that example back and say I guess we have established Vulcan significantly. But we certainly didn't see Kronos until
Enterprise.
The
there was like a three-parter, series.
In the pilot, they go there. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's true.
But you know, anyways, my whole point, by the way, was to say that there are lots of important planets in Star Trek canon that we don't see. And it took a long time to get to like Ferenginar.
We probably spend as much time on Ferenginar as we do on Kronos, like, which is kind of sad.
No way. We spend way more time
more so.
on Kronos.
That's true.
There's
like two
know.
Or three episodes.
I would
at
argue,
least.
No, Ferenginar's more, probably. You get no. whole episodes in Ferenginar.
The only times we are go to Ferenginar are like the stupid
Pork episodes.
The stupid Moogie episodes. And there's only like two or three that we actually spend on Ferenginar. Anyways, my point is that there are plenty of planets mentioned, like significantly mentioned or being important, like Andoria, you know, obviously, or
we
even
see them. We go there.
Yes, in Enterprise. But what is like Tellarite we've never been. No. I'm saying like they tend to not show important things.
Okay.
Like Tellarite we've never seen.
Look, how often do we go to Earth? Let's be honest.
We've gone to Earth quite a bit.
But
I mean, it's
but
not
actually
frequently.
That much if you think about it.
I mean, you have Deep Space Nine has one or trip. TNG has one trip.
Whoa. Deep Space Nine has
reasons.
More than one trip.
Well, I'm not counting. I'm counting the two-parter as one.
They go there, obviously, for Paradise Lost and Homefront. Right.
Well, I'm not counting
the time travel ones. Okay. That's fair.
That's also a two-parter. Fine. Yeah, fine. I meant regular Earth.
I mean, but do we want to see Earth that
no,
much?
No, we don't.
I
that's
don't.
That's why we don't go there.
I don't mind, like, once or twice. That's cool.
He's the only chief engineer that doesn't go to engineering. Same thing. We don't want to see our ship go to Earth.
I'm okay with, like, starting off from there or, like, visiting there after a super traumatic event like in Best of Both Worlds or even a Homefront in Paradise Lost. I think also used it very appropriately in the fact of, like, oh, God, Earth is being infiltrated. What do we do? I think it's more effective to show it less often, certainly. And it's really hard to do that. It's hard to show Earth 300 years in the future and do it convincingly. So I don't have a problem with that. But I mean, like all of these other planets, I mean, we're already out there visiting all these people. And we hear about these places all the time. I'm just saying that Star Trek does this a lot. It shies away from a lot of the significant places that we should see.
Well, would you want to go see Romulus, which we have seen, not a lot, but often? Yeah,
yep.
We see TNG Unification. we see it in Deep Space Nine when Bashir goes to pretend to kill the whatever senator or whatever on the Section 31-13 whatever, as much as any other planet.
And then we see it in Nemesis.
Right.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. There are just plenty of places left to see.
Or are you more of a Remus person?
Let's not see Remus. Let us not see Remus.
Romulus also gets destroyed too, so you better see it while you can.
It doesn't get destroyed too. It gets destroyed also. First. Not also. It's alternate, right? So it either does or does not get destroyed. That's the point.
Well, no, it's destroyed in the Prime timeline.
Right.
Yes.
But it's not destroyed.
Destroyed in the Kelvin.
Well, it's not destroyed in the Kelvin yet because we haven't gotten to that time yet.
But presumably, and if time travel works properly, those two timelines will have divulged far enough that they will.
Yes, but the effect of what destroys it was a supernova. I don't think that's not going to happen in the alternate.
Which is possible, but remember, they knew well enough to try to prevent it. And it's possible
that
maybe
that technology
we've already leaped forward hundreds of years in technology in
now,
that
Daniel,
timeline.
Are you saying if people on a planet knew in advance that the actions that they could do would destroy their planet, that they would do enough in time to prevent its destruction?
Yes, they would build a solar probe and download the best minds onto it, put a flute in, and shoot it up into the sky.
As long as you have your little straw hat and your suntan lotion.
Your sun protector. Don't forget it.
We'll all be fine. Man, sorry.
Now, a place that it's not a planet, but it's bigger than a planet, so I'm going with it. And that is the Dyson Sphere. Oh, I said it completely wrong. Yep. Dyson Sphere, yes.
Yeah, it's only big, like, 1 AU. I mean,
one. That's a small number.
Jeez, that'd be so big. Although, next time, build it around a good star, please. I mean, you had one job. Find a stable star to build your Dyson Sphere around.
The only thing bigger in Star Trek is the... V'ger Cloud.
Right.
The
V'ger which cloud was 2 AU, I think, at least.
Yeah.
But that's a cloud, you know.
It doesn't really count, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a hardware. That's considered. Okay. But yeah, I think in one thing in Relics, the TNG episode where it was featured. Now I'm trying to remember correctly. Is it that, you know, it was built and then abandoned, or is it just a mystery we don't know? Because in other words, and I know the technology wasn't as good then. I think they cleaned it up a little bit in the remaster, though I may have it wrong. That, you know, inside the sphere, you could see what looked like, you know.
Yeah,
like
it was developed. It's the star started to prematurely, I think, burn out or something. And so it was emitting massive radiation. So I think it was abandoned.
What I think probably what happened there is you had the contractor who estimated how long it would take to build. And then by the time they built it, the sun burned itself out, which is typical contractor timeline.
It is. Yeah.
So
would you really want to visit there, Philip?
Right. Well, I wouldn't want to live there. But like I'm saying, like I don't know. I'm going to call it a planet. I know it's not a planet, but like the planet stuff you saw of like where people would live, like was that dead? I mean, were there trees and
it looked like
you know?
There were structures and such. I think it just had high radiation. So you would glow, but yeah, I think they should build a base like on the outer shell because it's like now there's this huge, well one they totally misrepresent like the size. I mean 1 AU is, I mean you just can't even wrap your head around how big that is. So you shouldn't see any curve when you're actually up against it. It should be like a wall that just goes on forever.
And it seems very, I mean, like, I get it. There are ancient advanced races that can do all of these amazing, incredible things. It seems to me extremely unlikely that you could ever come up with enough material to feasibly build a structure like that. But
yeah.
I mean, do you know how much it took me to collect enough metal for this cockpit?
Yeah, exactly. Also, remember now, we're in the 24th century where we have sensor technology and all of this stuff, to have never noticed this before also seems very unlikely to me.
Space is really big, and that's really big. You'd have no idea how huge, gargantuanly large, infinitesimally big it seems. But yeah, no, I mean, there's so little we see yet from Earth, and we haven't even changed our perspective yet. So yeah, I totally buy that we would not find a Dyson sphere for hundreds of years.
Sure.
But, and though maybe it was a little smaller than 1 AU for Earth, because if it was, I think it was a type G star, so if it was a different star, it could have been smaller. But
I mean, you can special order it, right? I mean,
oh yeah.
This one fits on a G, this one fits on a type S, or I'm trying to think what type star we have. I can't remember.
All of the stars. Everything, and it'll be like, what are you wearing? And it'll be like, yes, I'm wearing the Dyson.
Nice.
Any other? I'll throw out one more pleasure planet, and then someone else can go. Because I feel like but the shore leave planet. Okay, I know it's gonna be crazy, and not deadly, but there are no. It's gonna be weird. I think it's be like, oh, like I just want to go to a pleasure planet and have fun, and like, hey, there's people attacking me, and there's a knight about to lance me, and
it's kind of like playing with the safeties off on the holodeck.
Exactly. So I think it'll be, like, just no going in. It's not going to be all women in bunny suits. It's going to, you know, there's going to be other stuff going on. But, you know, open yourself to new experiences, a little unpredictability in your vacation. I think that'll go happen at the shore leave planet. Unless, of course, with the animated series, everything went wonky.
Guys, we're missing a really important planet here. I would love to visit SETI Alpha 3, just so I could spend some time with my buds.
Well, and if you did early enough, it would actually be fine, because that's where they go. Actually, no, not 3. It's 6.
Nope.
This!
He SETI keeps Alpha. Changing his story. I can't remember which one it is, but that's true. As far as we know, SETI Alpha 3 could be fine.
Oh, well, I mean, we know.
Yeah.
We do know.
Yeah. I mean, we've never
just
been
look out the window. I mean, it's a beautiful day out there.
Here we go.
I know. I've been chopping wood all morning.
Just when I walked up. Are you saying SETI Alpha 3 is inside the Nexus?
Well, I mean, time has no meaning here. That's why we've been able to visit all the Star Trek timelines.
That's true. That's a good point.
Is that why Daniel can't be on other shows? Because only a part, an echo of him exists here in the podcast world?
That's right. No matter how much
I'm already there.
Now, that's a place, the Nexus. Would any of you all, I mean, assuming, well, I don't know if you'd want to leave or not. I don't know. That's up to you all. Would you all want to visit the Nexus? Be eternally happy forever and ever?
I mean, all we have to go off of is Picard and Guinan's experience, so.
Well, and Kirk's.
And Kirk.
That's true, but Picard was also observing it. I don't know. I'm just saying the sample size of people who've observed this is very small. So I don't actually know what we're going to experience in the Nexus.
I mean, we don't know what he experiences in the Nexus, but we know that Sorin is willing to kill billions of people to get back to it.
True.
Right. So it's like getting a ticket to Hamilton.
Nice. I don't know. That's a really interesting question. I mean, essentially, if you can do or go wherever you want forever and always and be as happy as you can possibly be, why would I not want to do that? I mean,
and is it, I mean, I don't know, I'm not trying to get philosophical, but like, is it a real happiness? Well, it almost seems like fake euphoria.
Yeah,
because
humans really don't like fake environments. Like, even if we know that it's not real,
this is where we get into Matrix.
No, it's true. It's like, I would they reject it? Like, okay, this is beautiful and amazing, but at the end, if it's not real, are you going to be satisfied with that?
Does it matter? Because if everything you're experiencing is real to you, what's the difference?
But it's real, being real to you, like feeling real, but actually knowing whether or not in the greater purpose it actually matters, I think is different.
What's the difference? If I could put you into a chamber and say, Darren, you are now, you know, in X place, Y place, whatever, trick all of your senses into thinking your whole body and your consciousness thinks that you are in this place, and you have no way of telling the difference.
Okay, so you don't tell me that it's a simulation.
No.
Well, Well, I think the problem with the next... Well, not the problem. If you don't have a problem with it, is that your sense of reality is gone. It's not that you think you're in that place, but you're also in that situation. Like, Picard thought he was married and had children. It wasn't like, oh, this is a fantasy of me. This is, he thought he was really there. And then he, like, oh, wait, hold... Wait,
so you're happy, but you don't know why you're happy, because you didn't know that you weren't happy before.
Wait, well, and it's also that you're thinking it's really happening, not just that you're fooled. Like, you're like, oh, this is a fun experience, and I'm happy. But I guess it is like the whole, it's not holodeck addiction, but if I'm going to use that as a metaphor, it's like holodeck addiction where, like, I don't ever want to leave here. But, yeah. Like, well, you have to.
It's the brain in a jar problem, philosophical problem.
Ah.
And it's basically, we don't know right now.
This is from Futurama, right?
Well, no, it's not. I mean, this is a bigger, more existential issue than that. But, I mean, yeah. Right now we don't know that we're not people in the Matrix. There's no way we could tell. There's no...
Four quatloos on the guy speaking now.
So I don't know. I mean, but if you could actively get to that place where not only could you... control what you experienced, but you can make yourself as happy as possible. I mean, why would you not do that? As opposed to like an actual reality where you're miserable, or maybe you're sick, or you're missing a, you know, whatever. Like, I understand why people would do that, certainly.
Yeah, because I think with the Nexus, and I'm thinking of Kirk and Picard, like, it would have been interesting what Guinan would have thought and what Soren would have. Or what she experienced and what Soren experienced. Well, I think we know with Guinan, it was Mark Twain experience. Yeah.
It was a sequel to Time Zero. No. Oh, no.
Right. But with... Well, we can't say it with Picard because he only had one experience, and that was sort of the... Victorian. I was going to say Dickensian. More Victorian, I suppose. Christmas experience with his made-up family. But with Kirk, he kept changing scenarios, and he sort of experienced... like it almost is like an All Good Things... where he'd be like, I don't know what's... I know where I am. This is perfectly where I'm supposed to be. He even would have the awareness that, like, oh, Butler was dead, but now he's alive again. And, oh, there's the girl, even though she left. And there's the girl again. And I don't know if he was just fooling himself and wanting to believe it. You know, because there's a part of him that knew, like, no, that dog's dead. And that he doesn't even fit in this time period that where I'm supposed to be in. And so I don't know if you're just fooling yourself and you're just accepting it, like maybe a dream. Like, maybe, like, you know, sometimes you know you're dreaming, but you're like, let's go with it, see what happens.
No, we've talked about this before, and this is poor writing. Kirk's Nexus should absolutely be the bridge of the Enterprise. There's no reason that would not be his happiest place that he could be. And
which Enterprise?
The original Enterprise. No bloody A, B, C, or D.
Right. So not refit.
No, Kirk's play, you know, that's, I mean, that's, you know, we're
like animated.
Yeah, that would be funny, actually. That would be awesome if they went into the Nexus and then Picard became,
it just turns into animation style. Picard and you have animated Picard walk in.
That would be awesome. That's part of the issue with how the Nexus is presented to us, because Kirk absolutely would be on the bridge of the Enterprise. There's no, I mean, that's the basically the one character trait that that's been drilled into our heads since the conception of the character of Kirk, and they kind of dropped the ball on that.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think that's a good place to end them. But any honorable mentions from either of you gentlemen about any planets and places in the Star Trek franchise? There's many we haven't talked about, but any last mentions?
What about the Q Continuum planet?
That's interesting. Now, how would you experience it?
I don't know.
How you? I mean, you know, is it going to be
Civil
War?
I'd like to visit the.
Is it going to be the road in the desert?
The great Tricyticale wheat fields of Sherman's planet, just wheat for days.
How did he get his own planet, man?
You just gotta know the right people.
But that's a good question about the continuum, like. Is it going to be Civil War Earth, or is it going to be...
No, please don't.
Well, no, I thought... I mean, it wasn't my favorite Marvel movie, but I think, like,
nice,
it would...
Nice. No, I don't like the Civil War representation of it, because it seems stupid and silly to me. But I do like the desert, the road in the desert thing. That was cool. That was a good way to kind of do that. Of course, I assume the Q Continuum is not actually a place, but a plane... The continuum is actually more
where are you going on this plane?
A dimension.
Are you going to get Are you gonna be the Scarecrow?
You're sounding like the intro to a Twilight Zone episode, Daniel. You're on a plane in another dimension.
I want to go into the planet where there's nothing but books, and I can finally have time to read.
It's not fair.
No, my glasses, bro.
Or I guess if we're more appropriate, we should be like, there's something on the wing of the plane. Don't you believe me?
Oh, that would have been William Shatner's Nexus. Yeah. Oh, well, there's lots of planets and places we could talk about. And for those who are listening, we'll hope you'll let us know which one your favorite ones or ones you'd like to visit, whether pleasure or non-pleasure oriented in their planethood. You can, of course, reach us at thenerdparty.com /contact, and you can reach us there and any of our wonderful shows there as well. You got a taste of what a Star Wars discussion would be like. So if you love Star Wars, we have Aggressive Negotiations and then Great Shot Kid, talking about the makers of Star Wars and everything else they're involved in. And, of course, great other shows across the network. And not talking about great topics, Darren, what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we are going to be talking about the stations of Star Trek. And yes, a portion will be dedicated to Deep Space Nine. I mean, a whole series was dedicated. But there's actually quite a few of stations, Federation stations, alien stations. And I just wanted to talk through some of those because it is a unique setting as opposed to the planet of the week. You know, it's usually a little more involved in set work, and they have quite a variety of uses. So we will be talking.
I'm glad you clarified. I thought there was like a Star Trek Easter, and we were going to do stations of Star Trek. But okay.
No, it's Bill and Ted.
Well, that sounds awesome. Daniel, if folks want to learn more about any other pleasure spots in the galaxy they can visit, where can people reach you on the internet?
I know all the good ones. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So you can get a hold of me on Twitter at 1UpDan. That's the number one, not the word.
And Darren, if people want to know what the meaning of true happiness is in the Nexus, where can people reach you?
They can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And if people want to reach me about whether or not I saw that rabbit, they can find me on Twitter where my handle is NCPublicServant. Well, guys, it's been great, and we hope to join you all next week. I'm Philip Gelfis.
I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.